1017 FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty with Jeff Luce in for Aaron. She will be back tomorrow on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shreveport City Councilman Grayson Butcher joining us. Grayson, good morning.
Hey, good morning, y'all. How are you doing?
Thank you very well. Doing very well. Appreciate you joining us. Yesterday, City Council meeting, there were open discussions on the Red River Expressway, which is, if people aren't familiar with that, it's the toll bridge being proposed by a private developer. It'll be basically a private road. Is that am I correct on that?
It's correct. It's by the same developer. I don't know if when you go to Gulf Shores now, when you get off there past Loxley, the expressway that goes to the beach, it's the same developer that developed that, Tim James.
Tim James. Yeah. And it'll be a toll bridge connecting South Shreveport to South Bossier. And in Bossier, it'll connect down around Elm Grove, if I'm looking at the one of those maps correctly. And then in Shreveport, it's just above the port. Am I right?
It'll come out around Leonard Road off of Highway 1 down off Fury Drive and then come across around Taylortown. It's what I've been told. So it'll kind of go through those fields back behind 12 Oaks and Esplanade and then kind of connect in there at Highway 1 and go across. That's what's proposed.
Well, that's the problem. 12 Oaks and Esplanade and those neighborhoods, the residents there are not happy, are they, Grayson?
They are not happy. And it's very understandable, but a little background, I've been meeting on this pretty much the whole year. I've had one meeting with Tim James in person and then another group meeting with him. And basically all the city involvement is, the majority of this is going to be outside the city. So that's the first thing. So the Parish Commission really and the Bossier Parish Police Jury are really going to be the ones that are making the final decision on this. The only thing that we have is a small kind of triangle piece of property at the end of 3132 on Flournoy Lucas Road that was always for 20 some odd years, the state and NLCOG has talked about extending 3130 all the way to the port. And this is the right of way that goes across 31 across Flournoy Lucas from 3132 that allows it to tie in. So this road would be from what we a replacement for the proposed 3132. So, 3132 expansion predates both of these neighborhoods, just to be clear.
Okay. But one of the residents that spoke, one of the first ones said, had he known that this was in development, he would have looked elsewhere to buy his beautiful home. He stated that it was going to go 200 feet from his backyard.
Yeah, there is. I mean, that is true. But that 3132, in fact, I can't talk too much about it because the city is being sued by the developer of Esplanade because we wouldn't let him plot a bunch of lots back there back before my council term. So that's been 9-10 years ago, and we're still in a lawsuit over that, Mr. Larkin. So, it's been on the books. It's been on the books for quite some time that this was going to be an extension of 3132. Now, in conversations with people, they've said, well, that'll never happen. And I said, well, you just never know. I mean, you get a new governor, every 4 or 8 years. You get a new legislature every 4 or 8 years. You never know if that expansion, especially with the growth that's going on at the port. The port's acquiring land all the time around there, and they're really a huge economic driver here in Caddo Parish, and they're doing it right down there. I mean, you just go and look at what it looks like over the last 15 years. So I don't want to say never that'll ever happen, but to me, and full disclosure, I don't live in Esplanade. I've lived in 12 Oaks. The city attorney lives in 12 Oaks. I have a lot in Esplanade. My wife and I are thinking about retiring there at some point. I don't know if that'll ever happen. But we do own a lot in Esplanade that's about, 200 yards from where this roadway is going to go in. So I understand their concern. But I also bought that lot with the knowledge of knowing that could potentially be a roadway going over there next to the bayou.
So as a councilman then, not as a property owner in the neighborhood, but as a councilman, do you support the Red River Expressway? Would you vote for
At this point, I am not. What this allowed us to do is allow Mr. James to get an appraisal on the property, and have access to the property to do all of this. And then I put on this that says that it has to come back. It has to come back to the council. It has to come back to the council for the 99-year right-of-way. There's several steps in here. Mr. James, when I first met with him, I said, okay, here's some conditions. Two-lane road, 35 miles an hour, no jake brakes, no hazardous materials, and berms between both neighborhoods or some type of sound devices that are not ugly like the ones on I-49.
Right.
And he agreed to all those conditions, and he also agreed to it yesterday. So any right-of-way that we grant him that access, I want that to be written in the right-of-way that he has to adhere to those standards, and he says that he will. So I don't want people to think this is not going to be an elevated interstate-type highway. This is going to be something very similar to the Walter B. Bigsby in Bossier, the carriageway that's a smaller road. That's kind of what it's been portrayed to me. Now,
well, isn't that a four-lane?
Well, it's going to be a similar, like, carriageway. It'll be a two-lane, but it'll be something that's not high traffic, not high speed. It'll be a slower type. That's when I said that. It'll be something similar to that 35 miles an hour. Am I for it? I said in the meeting yesterday, and I want y'all to think back in your minds, what was the last major thoroughfare that was done in Shreveport? The two that come to my mind are the 3132 expansion, Fern Avenue, and then I guess Southern Loop. But that's been 15 or 20 years ago.
Right.
We're not building any infrastructure. Now, you go to Bossier, they've built that parkway or the carriageway. They've built the Crouch Road extension. The Arthur Ray Teague now goes to the 71. I mean, they are building infrastructure, and we're not. Mm-hmm. So this is the way for us to build infrastructure to get to our most valuable economic driver in Caddo Parish without us having to spend any money. So there's no money coming from the city or the parish.
Okay, so what's the next step? To give vote appraisal, property appraisal, and then what's after that?
Well, there has to be a survey done, and then after the survey is done, to decide where the road is actually going to go. I'm kind of pushing for it to go a little bit over to the west to bring it when it flies over. It will fly over 3132 with an overpass, or Flournoy Lucas with an overpass from 3132. When it flies over, I'm wanting it to fly over a little bit west of where the proposed road's going to go, but that's going to take acquiring some more land over to the to the west of it, but there's that that's got to be taken into consideration. Then the appraised value, and then at that point it comes back with the final plans to the council for approval. But I suspect that would be probably sometime the first of the year, if not the middle of next year.
Where does the Army Corps in Section 408 fit into this?
Well, Mr. James said yesterday that they're in the approval process, I want to say, with the Corps about the bridge, that they're almost done with that. But there's a lot of hoops to jump through. There's also a zoning issue that you've got because Mr. Larkin sold Mr. James several residential lots, the ones that are actually in this lawsuit against the city. He sold them to Mr. James for the roadway, so those are going to have to be either rezoned or replatted on the PUD for Esplanade. So there's a lot more public input that's going to be going into this project before it comes to fruition.
Talking with Shreveport City Councilman Grayson Butcher. Grayson, let me switch gears for just a moment because I was looking back on some notes, and we talked about the hotel on 70th, and I didn't pre-clear this with you. I apologize throwing this on you. What's the latest on that? Are they have they delayed again?
See, you scared me there, Mike. I thought we were going to look back at some notes. I didn't know what you're throwing at me, but that's an easy one.
Yeah. I'm not going to throw you a hardball here, but I wouldn't do that to you.
No, we're working with property standards and Mike Sepulveda permits right now. I'm just going to be honest. The last conversation I had with Mike about a week and a half ago was that the owner had left the country. Now I don't know if we found him,
oh my gosh.
I know that I know that a lot of the supervisors there have not been paid, or at least they weren't up until about a week and a half ago. The last conversation I had about it was at council yesterday. We were able to get the grass cut there. Property Standards went over there and handled that. But, you know, it to me is just another example of out-of-town people, which we look, it's the same thing with the roadway. We encourage people to come and invest money in the city of Shreveport. We need that influx of economic development.
Sure,
But we need good actors to come in here, and it's obvious that there was something that just was off with this project from the get-go. Myself and former Councilman Nicholson went and took a tour of it, and it sounded great when they started it back during COVID or right after COVID or whatever.
Yeah, this has been years.
Yeah, I mean, well, Nicholson was still on the council, so I mean that's been over almost 4 years ago. So, you know, we went and took a tour of it. It was going to be all this great stuff, and it was projected to end in a year, and we were going to have a pizza restaurant and all this stuff, and it sounded great. And then it just stopped. And, you know, I don't know if you look at the clerk of court, there's millions and millions of dollars that have been borrowed on that and other multiple properties that this guy owns. And, you know, according to some of the people that worked there, he's left the country. Now, I can't validate that, but, you know, it's just upsetting because it just makes me think more of the Jolie apartments and the Oak Meadow apartments and the apartments up in Councilwoman Taylor's district, that we've got these out-of-town people coming in and buying this valuable real estate and then just letting it go, taking loans out on it and letting it go. So I hope that someone in law enforcement will start looking into these property owners.
So what can be done? What's next? I mean, is it just going to sit there unfinished, vacant for another 5 years?
Well, there is a process that we have to go through,
sure.
Similar to any property. I would suspect that if progress on it at some point, it will go to the environmental court, and then we'll go through. But I mean, we don't have the money to tear half the stuff down that we've got. So
right,
you know,
right.
I don't know. I kind of wish that that we'd have known it was in this kind of financial trouble, because we could have put the police substation there, or you know what I mean. It's just really sad to me, living in Shreveport all the years and going to Captain Shreve and passing that beautiful hotel and having Easter's there and Thanksgiving's there in that ballroom, that it's just pretty much been destroyed, you know. And I mean, from what Mike says, there may be a little bit of a mold or a mildew issue up in the upper, you know, upstairs area because it's been open. So it's you know, I just don't want to see it turn into another Holodome, but I think it's headed that direction. So we're working. We're trying to be a little bit more diligent with this one, and you'll see what happens. But we are, myself and council, it's in my district, but it's right across the street from Councilman Talaferro's district.
Right.
We're both on top of it, and we're making sure that at least it's clean. So we've kind of got a ritual that we're checking it, you know, regularly ourselves. So
is there a way to sell it due to the unpaid taxes on it?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. We have legal looking into everything that we can do. I've asked Mr. Edwards to dig into it and tell us what we can do legally. But, you know, of course, we want the owner to finish the project.
Of course. Right. Yeah, that'd be the best
thing. Yeah, we would like for him to, because we, you know, I say this all the time, the city of Shreveport has more real estate than God does, and we don't need any more real estate. But we need to push for this owner to finish it, and that's what our goal is right now.
Well, we'll stay on top of it. Grayson, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on with us.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the call, and we'll talk to you next time.
Good
morning.
Talk to you soon. Mike and Mike for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Key.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Are you all right down there?
Oh, yeah, I am now. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for my tea, by the way.
I haven't had to do any service. My co-host, although I would get coffee if my co-hosts were. What? Oh, no.
Did he just say he didn't have to service a co-host while I was gone?
Coming up, Rusty Scarborough going to give us an update on the Walter B. Jacobs progress, the brand new facility. Why would you even do that? Why would you even go there?
You know who I am.
Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, Rusty Scarborough, park manager at Walter B. Jacobs Memorial Park, they're building a brand new facility. Gives us an update right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline with the Walter B. Jacobs Memorial Park, Rusty Scarborough, Master Falconer, joining us this morning. Rusty, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to y'all.
Thank you so much for jumping on with us. We spoke back in June about the construction and the new building that's going up. How is that going? What's the timeline and how are we looking?
Man, we're looking really good. We've had a couple of snag delays with in from foreign countries like China and Canada. So we've had to push back our opening dates a little bit. We're doing an invitation-only opening for, like, the commissioners and the Jacobs family and such on December the 4th. And then we're looking at opening early December, like right after the Christmas holidays.
Okay. And you got my address on that invitation only, right?
Yes, sir.
So tell us about the new building and what people can look forward to, because this is phenomenal. And I think a lot of people don't even realize what we have out there.
No, you know, Walter Jacobs has been there. Next year will be our 50th anniversary of existence.
Mm-hmm.
And we have always offered state-of-the-art interpretive programs. But now our facility is going to match the type of programs we do. This facility is incredible. You know, when people say they're living the dream, I am literally living the dream. This is one of my passions. And the exhibits are phenomenal. Taylor Studios out of Illinois has done everything beyond what we anticipated. It's going to be a 13,000 square foot exhibit hall museum.
Wow.
4,000 square feet of exhibits, and you're going to literally walk into the forest indoors. One of our trees that looks like it doesn't look like it is a white oak tree is 28 feet tall. And then we have a blow-down hollow log that you can walk through. You know, a lot of those exhibits that you go to at zoos and nature centers, they have those little tunnels that kids can crawl in and get face-to-face with the prairie dogs or whatever. But we wanted to involve everybody. So our blow-down hollow tree is big enough for adults to walk through.
That's fantastic.
And how cool is this?
Yeah, we've involved the senses. There's going to be smell patches where you lift a panel and smell what this plant smells like or what decomposing soil smells like. There's going to be, when you walk in, there's going to be a storm theater. So when you first walk in, it's going to tell you how elements change the forest, but how over the long run, the forest stays the same. So you'll feel wind blowing on you when the storm comes up as you watch the little intro video. And we have a nighttime theater where you'll hear animals that spend most of their time active at night. And then you'll get to see those animals in the dark forest. There's just tons. We have a lightning strike tree, and I mean,
wow.
You feel it and hear it and see it. It's just going to be phenomenal. There won't be anything like this within a 6-hour drive.
How cool is this?
I cannot wait to see this. This is going to be incredible.
Now it really is. It's state of the art. I'm so proud of the parish that we have made the extra efforts in doing this well, and it is phenomenal. It's a beautiful facility. Our TBA architects have done a phenomenal job making it look very attractive. I was just telling one of my coworkers the other day, I said, you know, it's really weird when you think the back of the building is as or more attractive than the front of the building.
Now, you'll also be doing like birthday parties and things like that, celebrations. People can rent a room or the facility. Is that correct?
That is correct. The facility is expansive now. We also have an exhibit,
Now, you're saying expansive, not expensive.
Well, it wasn't cheap, I'll say that.
Right.
We have an event center right next door to the main exhibit hall. So the main building is 13,000 square feet, and then 8,600 square foot event center for business retreats and weddings and programs like that that will be available for rent. And then you can rent our rooms in the building. We have classrooms and a laboratory. You can rent those for business meetings, smaller style business meetings, and birthday parties and the like.
Now, art in
we
the park.
We have two classrooms and a laboratory in the main exhibit building.
Yeah. Art in the park is moved for this year, right? But will it be there next year?
Absolutely. Once we get open, we will move all of our special events back to the nature park grounds. We've held Art in the Park at Richard Fleming for the past 3 years, I believe it is, mm-hmm. and it has worked well. We were not able to do Bugs, Bats, and Bones at the park this year, and with the move and all, we just decided to not try to do it this year.
Now, you're not a zoo, but you do have animals out there. And tell us about that.
So we have a few animals. We have a good representation of the snakes that live in Louisiana.
My wife will be right out there.
Yeah. In nice. Our new exhibit, some of the snakes will be embedded in the experience. So they're not in a normal cage, but you'll be able to see them in their environment. And then we will have the other snakes in our one of our classrooms.
What will separate me from those?
Two panes of tempered glass.
Excellent.
And then we have built a brand new bird of prey aviary that will it has 11 spaces. So for once, all of our birds are on display in one locale. It's a brand new circular building. You can walk around. It's just to the left of the main building. And then we still currently have our deer. It's, sort of an octogenarian. This deer has lived, I believe it's 13 years old now. So that's quite old for a white-tailed deer.
Now, tell us, for those that may not be familiar with Walter B. Jacobs Nature Park, where you're up near around Blanchard, tell us exactly where you are.
Yeah, we're on Blanchard First. So if you go into Blanchard and you see the post office, you turn right there on Blanchard Fir. Sometimes maps has it listed as Parish Road 4. But you turn and cross the railroad tracks, and we are 3 miles from the post office on Blanchard Fir.
And the grand opening, your schedule had to push it back because of obviously some delays with some national and international product. But it's in December, you said the 5th?
The 4th of December will be the invitation only soft open.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first week or so of we don't have a hard date for the major grand opening.
Oh, okay.
That will be as soon as sometime as soon as we come back from Christmas holidays. When the kids come back from their Christmas holidays, we'll be opening right after that.
Well, we will keep up with you and get a hard date on that.
Absolutely.
Now, you're going to have to come in because Aaron and Ruben have told me you're going to have to try the, what is it, Ruben? Red beans and lice?
Red beans.
That what?
Yeah. some of the
red
delicious
beans
bug
and
treats.
Yeah, red beans and yikes. We haven't done that in a few years since we've been closed, but I look forward to getting that back on. For our Bugs, Bats, and Bones program in October, we always have a cafe insecta, and I make I make red beans and yikes, which is gluten-free.
Are you saying yikes or yipes?
Yikes. Y-I-K-E-S.
Yes. Oh, okay.
So it has poached waxworm moths. Caterpillars instead of rice, it's got the poached waxworm.
Oh, so
it's
hell no.
It's very healthy. Oh, yeah.
I remember the scene in Shawshank Redemption when he pulls the little worm out of his oatmeal.
I can't even eat regular red beans and rice, so there's no way I'm coming near that.
Well, maybe we can entice you with the white chocolate waxworm macadamia cookies.
You would be mistaken. Those were actually very good, if I remember right. Those were pretty good.
Yeah, they were telling me about the cookies. And so, obviously, waxworms are edible and probably have protein and are good for you.
Yes, yeah. All of those are true.
But but it's not wiggling. At least it's not in your fingers wiggling, and then you just pop it in your mouth.
No, they've been poached and cooked and are all safe to eat, and they are high in protein. You know, a large portion of the world's population depends on insects for their protein.
I understand. But then again, on the flip side of that coin, I'll eat 10 pounds of crawfish without blinking an eye.
Yeah, you know, I've always found that kind of funny about what people won't eat. And then in Louisiana, we eat all like bottom feeders, oysters, crawfish, shrimp.
Catfish even.
Yeah. Saw a story on people eating nutria. That is just absolutely disgusting. So,
no, it's pretty good. I've eaten beaver. See,
I apologize. Didn't mean to step on toes.
Yeah. Well, then we'll look forward to that probably after the first of the year then, after you guys get up and going again.
Sure thing. I sure look forward to sharing this magnificent facility with the people of Northwest Louisiana.
Rusty Scarborough, director at Walter B. Jacobs Nature Park. Thanks for joining us this morning.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Talk to you soon. 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
So, do you keep up with the World Series, by the way?
I haven't really this year. I'm sorry to say. Okay. I normally do.
While you were out, and I want to talk to you about this, we don't have time during this segment because the big scandal with the poker and the NBA players and coaches.
Yes,
and
I did see that.
The mafia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, in the wake of that, Toronto wins Game 5 last night.
They're up 3-2 now.
So now they're up 3-2.
Yep.
One more, and it's over. But how many of us are now thinking, no, we don't want it to be over yet? Whether it's Don Corleone going, no, we want more money.
Yeah.
We got to go to a Game 7.
We need a Game 7, yeah.
All the gambling, all the betting. All the TV revenue, all of the ticket sales, all of the merch.
Right.
All of the... I just don't trust it anymore.
Yeah.
And even Boomer Esiason said this. He said, if you want to look back on questionable, okay, what's going on, look at the Saints-Rams playoff game.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
The no call.
Yeah.
Rams defender knocks our receiver out of bounds before the ball even gets there.
Mm-hmm.
No flag. What was that? What? Very questionable.
Big time.
So Game 7?
Game 7. It's already scheduled, right?
Oh, look at that. Los Angeles wins Game 6. Oh, boy. Yeah. Imagine that.
I might watch this tomorrow night. I think is Game 6. I may watch and see if we're going to go. I did watch the ending of that. What was that? 18 inning game the other night.
Well, see, there's no way I could watch
that. That was crazy. And I thought those people had been. It was a 6-hour baseball game.
Yeah.
Thought, holy cow.
So, were there any plays that led you to go, oh, really?
I didn't see anything like that. I didn't. But I'll watch tomorrow night and see if I see it. I'll watch and see.
It's just, unfortunately, it's now in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a point.
Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, joining us after the news, top of the hour, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, and on the free KEEL app. .7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty, Aaron back grateful to have you back. Thank you so much for being here.
You bet.
Because we get guests like this when you're back. It's okay. I'm not offended. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mike, good morning.
Hey, brother. Good to hear your voice. And welcome back, Erin.
Thank you.
And yes, I joined just because she's back, Mike. You know that.
I know
he
that.
He would have done that with you. You
That's
know
what your
that.
People told me. Is Erin there? No, oh. We're not going to do it then.
So, government going to be back open tomorrow? How close are we?
Let's pray. Let's pray that there's a break. This is day 30 of the Democrat shutdown, and they've now voted 14 times to keep the government closed. And it's just beyond me why this is happening. There's no coincidence. The polling says now that 70% of Americans view the Democratic Party is out of touch. They're just not paying attention to the real pain, the real hardship that's being caused by this. And I'm doing a press conference every morning. Y'all seen. I'm just going out and telling the American people the simple truth. This is about one thing and one thing alone. They are trying to use this as leverage to get credibility with the far left in their party, because Marxism is on the rise, as you've seen, in the Democrat Party. They're about to elect an actual Marxist, a far left socialist candidate, Mamdani, as the mayor of America's largest city in New York. And they're worried about that. The leaders here are worried they're going to get a challenge from a Marxist. And so they're just trying to show a fight. And they're causing great pain because of it.
Well, and I would take it a step further. It's not that they're out of touch. It's that they don't care. They've said the quiet part out loud. Well, we know people are suffering and hurting, but this is our leverage. In other words, this is about us and our power. We don't care about the people.
That is literally the quote of the second highest ranked Democrat in the House, Catherine Clark, who's their whip. And she said that the other day. And then Chuck Schumer said a few days before that, he leads over in the Senate, that every day of this gets better for us. What are you talking about, Chuck? Us who? It's the Democrats who are elected here. Hakeem Jeffries is on the ballot next fall. He's the Democrat leader in the House, my counterpart over here. And he's afraid that he's going to get a challenge from a Mamdani disciple on the New York City Council. This is a young guy who's already claiming he's going to run against him. So both of those guys, Schumer, Hakeem, all their leadership teams, they're terrified of losing their political positions. And so they're playing to the far left, and it's causing real pain across the country.
Mike, let me ask you this. I'm a little bit concerned why you have not called the House back in session. Oh, you've got federal workers who are working and they're doing their job and not getting paid. You could still be accomplishing things on the House side, even though the government is shut down, and you've been criticized for this. Why have you made that decision?
Well, we have been working. All of our members, most all of them, are back in their districts trying to help their constituents navigate this crisis, because you have so many federal employees and people who depend upon government contracts and, you know, people who rely upon nutrition assistance and veterans health services, all those things, they're all brought to a halt. So the members are back trying to help all those constituencies handle that work. They're working harder now than they would be if they were here in the Capitol on the House floor. The only thing that's stalled right now is legislative business on the floor. Everything else goes on in earnest. I mean, I've been working 21 hour days for the last month, just trying to manage all this crisis. But the reason we're not doing legislative business, the reason we're not here on the floor, is because the most critical and most essential, most important job of Congress is to keep the government operating. And when the Democrats are playing games, the only leverage I have to get the government working again is to put pressure on the Senate Democrats to do their job. And if I bring everybody back here, it just stirs that up, and it prevents that from happening. I think something's going to break soon. Look, SNAP benefits, y'all, are going to run out at the end of this month. I mean, we've got 42 million families, 42 million people in this country who rely upon that. Now, I'm grateful that Governor Landry and Louisiana legislature, they worked hard. They're going to make sure that SNAP benefits are paid for Louisianians. So we're covered. We're one of only two or three states where the governor stepped in to help. And you're going to have real pain felt by people around the country. And you've got the WIC benefits, the Women, Infants, and Children Nutrition Program. The President Trump has bent over backwards to find extra pots of money to fund that. But it's not an inexhaustible fund. So that's going to run out as well. We've managed to get the troops paid through October because President Trump found unobligated funds in the Department of Defense to do that. But that money's running out as well. So the longer this thing drags on, air traffic controllers, if you have a flight coming up, there's a very good and increasing chance that you'll have a delay or maybe a cancellation, because if you don't have people in the towers, they can't run the flights safely, and they won't run them if they can't do that. So it's very real. It's going to affect every aspect of society. And that pain dial is going to be turned up quickly. And it's all because, remember, this is about one thing. It's about Democrats playing politics. And I wish that were not true, but that is the simple truth that they cannot refute.
Mm-hmm. That leads me to my next question, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Look, we know we've always considered ourselves the silent majority as conservatives. Called this the flyover states. We know the majority of Americans. I mean, Trump won the Electoral College. He won the popular vote. He won every swing state. We know the majority of people support what you and the Republican, the conservatives are doing. But my question is, how did we get to a point where we're about to elect a communist as mayor of the largest city in this country? How do people like Ilhan Omar get elected? How did the Democrat Party go so far left? How did we get here? What happened?
Brother, you and I are going to need 90 minutes to go through that on the radio. I have a slideshow that explains how this began in the early 60s and devolved into the point where it is today. But gradually, we moved away from the founding principles of the country. And the reason we're conservatives is we are trying to conserve what made us the greatest nation in the history of the world. The ideas of individual freedom and limited government and the rule of law and peace through strength and fiscal responsibility and free markets and human dignity, all these things that are the hallmarks of what it means to be an American. We celebrate the 250th anniversary of next year. They're imperiled by people who have this other ideology, this far left Marxist ideology that is based upon a very different foundational ideas. And look at the split screen right now. You've seen that theme in my morning press conference. Right now, the two parties have a wider chasm between them that was ever imaginable.
Right.
I mean, it's way different than when we were kids, you know?
Mike, the something has been posted, and the attention on Snap Now, I think, is very valuable. And this has been posted online this week. When you give the government the power to feed you, you also give them the power to starve you. That's why socialism never works. We need to examine SNAP. 53,000 in Louisiana are not going to get their SNAP benefits. The governor's not giving it back to all. Those are able-bodied people that he says should be working.
With no dependents.
Right. We need to pay attention to that. There are some people that really we don't need to be giving them these benefits.
Well, you're exactly right. And we just demonstrated that in the One Big Beautiful Bill, our big signature legislation we got signed into law July 4th. We looked at the Medicaid program, right? And you had that same problem in Medicaid. It was full of fraud, waste, and abuse. I mean, tens of billions of dollars a year wasted and given to able-bodied young men without dependents, for example. They were riding the wagon instead of working. And so we went in and rooted that out, and we saved the program that way because it's intended for the elderly, disabled, and, you know, young women without a spouse and young children. I mean, people who desperately need it. And the money was being siphoned off by people who were writing it. By the way, you also had almost 2 million illegal aliens on the program. Mm-hmm. And we got them off as well. It's for U.S. citizens. So we have to do the same thing in each of these government programs. And watch what happens there. And every time we do that, the right, just, moral thing to preserve the programs and make them stronger for the people who need them, the Democrats cry foul. I mean, literally, their demand to reopen the government is that we give those benefits back to illegal aliens. Look at it. They look at page 57, section 2141 of the bill they filed to reopen the government. They're demanding that we spend $200 billion and give that back to illegal aliens. It is unconscionable.
It's absurd. Mike, let me change gears for just a moment. There's a billboard that's been put up here locally calling on you to release the Epstein files. And you said you have a
liberate. Okay,
exactly.
This is another red herring. A total. They're trying to distort everything. Of course, the Epstein files are being released. The people who buy these billboards and try to stir up trouble are not paying attention to the facts. Last Friday, we had the third batch of release of the Epstein estate files. Okay, we have lawyers during the shutdown who have been up in New York City digging through all of that stuff. They have released his flight logs, his financial ledgers, his daily calendar, his personal notes. I mean, we're going so deep into the details of Epstein, there will be nothing uncovered. And that's all been happening. The House Oversight Committee is filled with some of the biggest bulldogs in Congress, on the right and the left, the Democrats and Republicans, all united in this. It goes on around the clock. They are releasing. We got 43,000 pages of Epstein file documents out already. There's more to come. There's subpoenas outstanding right now. 11 deposition subpoenas. They've gone after the suspicious activity reports of the bank records, the Treasury Department. I mean, it is a full and open display of all of it, and everybody can draw their own conclusions. The one thing we've been insistent about, and the reason there was a fight initially, is that I know and I believe and I insist that we have to protect the innocent victims. By some estimates, there's as many as 1,000 young women who were just suffered unspeakable crimes in the trafficking ring that was involved with Epstein Island.
Well, and not only young women, children.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Many of them were minors. That's exactly right. And they suffered great harm. And you can't have their identities uncovered in mm-hmm. these files because it'll cause further harm.
Right.
So we have to absolutely insist upon that. And I have. And that's why they've gotten all upset.
From a constituent of yours in Benton, I get this question. My dad receives the aid and attendance benefit for veterans. Will he still receive that?
Oh, we hope so. The Department of Defense has bent over backwards to find these unobligated funds to keep taking care of our veterans and making sure troops are paid. We've got to look into the fine point and the details on each of those programs. But the point is, the money's running out, and that's why we're so upset. I mean, I'm not the happy warrior right now. They're calling me Mad Mike at the press conferences, but I am angry about it because the simplest way to do this, the best way to get all those benefits returned and restored, the programs, is for the Democrat shutdown to end. And we just need 5 or 6 more Democrats in the Senate, centrist Democrats, to just come to their senses, defy their own leadership that's never going to bend on this, because, again, they think they're going to lose their jobs, and do the right thing and open the government. And then we can go and hash out all these remaining policy disputes and things we've got for the end of the year. That was always going to be the plan, but they decided to pick this fight so they can look tough to the Marxist base, to the No Kings Rally people and all those folks. They're mm-hmm. terrified, and they care more about their own political jobs, you guys, than they care
right.
about our veterans
exactly.
and people who depend on these services.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they don't care about themselves. It's all about their leverage and their power.
Yeah.
Yep. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, we know you're on a tight schedule. Thank you so much. The only thing I request, I want a Trump 2028 hat. And if you'll get,
he hands them out like candy. I think I can get you one.
Get him to sign it for me if you don't mind. I think that
he's totally trolling the Democrats.
I know it. I love it.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Mike, thank you so much.
Thanks. All right. Good to hear you.
Speaker of the House, you too, sir. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
All I can hear right now is, thanks, man. Where's Mike? Where's Mikey?
Yeah.
It's good to have you on.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What a busy
so
man.
Funny.
You know what I noticed about Mike Johnson, and this is so trivial. And
that you only want him on your kickball team?
Well, that, but his gray hairs. I mean, it is really showing now.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine the stress and pressure that he's under?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to name names, but I did have somebody tell me, he said, you know, we're in this position because of the failures of Mike Johnson. And I was like,
Right now it's the Senate's problem, to be quite honest. He's already passed the bill on the House side. I do, and I see his argument about why he's not called the House back to work. You know, that they're working in their district helping constituents. But I still question, you could still be taking action on bills to help the country and on other things. And he's been criticized for that, and he knows it. And that's kind of why I asked him about that, because mm-hmm. The House is not in session, and they could be working on things. But he's showing that, you know, these House members are needed back in the districts to help their constituents. I like what Louisiana's doing with SNAP. I mean,
absolutely.
Yes, you're going to help everybody that's in desperate need. But those who can go get a job, the governor said there's 10,000 jobs or 100,000 jobs that are available in Louisiana. And we have 53,000 able-bodied SNAP recipients. And he's looking at them going, go get a job.
Right. Thank you.
Go get a job.
Thank you.
And I understand, you know, when you're first getting a new job, you may not make enough wages to cover everything, rent and everything, but you can grow that. You can, you know, get a roommate. You can find ways to get around that. We all started out at low wages.
No, they'd rather sit home, play with their Xbox and not have to work.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the mailbox.
Go get tuna fish to feed their cat.
Honey Boy Salmon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With their SNAP benefits. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's mm-hmm. frustrating. And if I were one that needed SNAP at some point in my life, I would want to get off it as fast as I could. And I don't know. I don't understand the mentality of those who don't think like that. And maybe I'm wrong.
Because we're now in multi-generations of people that have never been expected to contribute to society. They have no expectations other than give me, give me, give me. And that's what they feel they're owed.
It's entrenched, yeah. Yeah.
They don't feel they are supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Sad.
The governor is jumped in on LSU football. Huh. Yeah. We're going to talk about that after the news, bottom of the hour. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710KEEL.com.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
LSU's going to win this weekend, Mike.
Well, we're not going to lose. We're not going to lose.
No,
I guarantee you we're not going to lose this weekend.
No, we're not.
Oh, that was just so frustrating.
I don't even want
to. Now, A&M, look, I'm not taking anything away from A&M. They're a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And they earned it. They schooled us. So
I'll forever be mad at them. You know why? Because the sausage balls were flying, and Bo is with a friend. So I had to get up and clean up sausage balls.
Yeah.
I had to throw them away.
Were you surprised at the Kelly decision?
No. After hearing at the end of that game, fire Kelly.
Oh, they were holding up signs.
Ooh.
Kelly gotta go.
Yeah.
G-E-A-U-X. Kelly gotta go.
Mm. Yeah, he's gone. He'll pop up somewhere else. I mean, he wasn't a fit for LSU.
And that's it. It never was a fit from his family press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Which was embarrassing.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a fit.
And now we have to watch that portal and see how many are we going to lose that he got. Because we racked up in the portal.
Whoa.
And
the draft.
I mean,
he's had top-rated draft classes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we have to hope.
He just hasn't done anything with them.
I know. We have to hope we can keep them and see what happens and who they get.
Because the number one rated quarterback, what, out of Evangel?
Mm-hmm. I think it's Evangel. I may be
committed
right.
To LSU.
Yeah, yeah. We got some good players coming.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my concern is the governor saying, we're going to pick the next coach.
Yeah.
And now, look. I agree, get Woodward out of the decision-making because mm-hmm. the two highest payoffs in college sports history were both hired by LSU AD Scott Woodward.
Right. Why isn't he?
Jimbo Fisher
mm-hmm.
at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And Texas A&M said, see ya. Now at LSU, now we're paying Brian Kelly $53 million.
Thankfully, private donors are paying it. Thank goodness.
But the point being,
we're having to pay off that contract.
Why are you signing these massive 10-year billion-dollar contracts?
And why isn't the spotlight on the AD?
Right.
That was my question.
Is Woodward under the gun here?
Should be.
I think so too.
Ridiculous contract. Man.
But do we want the governor?
No.
College football, I know it's a state school,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. I'm not liking this.
No,
that
he
the
needs
governor
to stay
is involved
out of that.
Yeah. in the school decisions.
And the board of supervisors will set up a search committee, and they'll do it. But he's got a lot of control over that board of supervisors now. He's got it pretty well stacked in his favor. So we shall see what happens.
Let's talk SNAP benefits when we get back.
All righty.
Aaron Back, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
And don't don't get me wrong. I don't disagree with everything Governor Landry has been doing. For instance, I love what he said about SNAP benefits.
Yes, definitely.
The state is going to make up paying SNAP recipients during this government shutdown. And kudos for stepping up for those that need it.
Exactly. Exactly.
The disabled and the single moms trying to feed children.
Mm-hmm.
Not able-bodied men with no dependents that can go get a job.
Or able-bodied women with no dependents.
Able-bodied people. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And here's the numbers so you'll know. Louisiana has 800,000 people on SNAP benefits.
Really?
It's about 17% of our population. Of those 800,000, 53,000 of them are able-bodied. So those people, they might be thinking they're going to get their SNAP benefits.
See, that's that is a lower figure than I would have expected, actually.
So the bulk of them will be getting the benefits loaded onto their cards. And it was interesting during his news conference yesterday, the governor said, SNAP benefits are not loaded on everybody's cards on the first. That's not how it works. They're loaded in staggered methods. Like the first of the month, the disabled will get their benefits loaded.
Mm-hmm.
On the second of the month, maybe it's people with children. On the third of the month, maybe it's people that are disabled or elderly. So it's staggered how they get loaded. So the folks that are the 53,000 able-bodied, thinking that your benefits will be loaded at some point in November when you normally would get them, they're not coming. It's not going to be loaded. So you're at a point now where, and I have been in touch with the Martha Merrick at the food bank.
Mm-hmm.
They are setting up all kinds of events they're trying to set up to help those folks and direct you to where you can get food. We have a ton of food pantries in our community that these folks, a lot of them are volunteers, and they work day and night. But here's the problem for the folks that listen to us. They need supplies.
Right. I was just going to say that.
They need things donated. And the best place is to the food bank. And if you can make a monetary donation or if you can make, non-perishable items, they need that. Because the demand after this weekend, it's going to spike. There's no doubt.
Right.
And there's going to be people, and there's nobody sitting here in this room or listening who doesn't want people to get the food if they need it. And they're in a dire situation. We all want that to happen. So if you can help the food bank, now's the time. Now's when they're really going to need it. And this is when we do what we do. We're charitable. We give to others. We help those who are in need. So I'm urging you to help the food bank if you can. That's kind of how I feel. But for those who can work, get a freaking job.
Thank you. Tired of paying for it. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
State Fair of Louisiana kicks off tonight.
Today, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, today. Yeah.
It's exciting.
And I was looking, because we know it's a kind of a joke. It's not a joke to the state fair people that it's like, oh, the fair's here. Get ready for 2 weeks of rain.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm looking at the extended forecast.
How's it look?
48, 43, 39 degrees.
Wow.
Sunday night.
Because I was telling you when I left, it was like 90 degrees, 98 degrees. And now I'm coming back and it's 51 on my way in this morning. It's because the state fair day.
I'm looking at these extended on into November. Sunny, 78.
Wow.
Sunny, 78. 77 all the way to the next Sunday, sunny and 77, sunny. So congratulations. They're going to get a great year of weather.
Absolutely.
Finally.
On our Keel Facebook page.
Fall weather.
Will you be going to the fair? Why or why not? And there are lots of negativity, but someone put this comment up and I love this. The fair is safe. Getting to the fair can be sketchy, but once inside, they now have a bigger police presence. Also appears to be more rides. if you have doubts, go on a weekend during, go on a weekday during the day. I think it's what they mean. Because I think during the weekday, before 5 or before 3, I think it's free.
Right.
You don't even pay at the gate.
Free before 3, I think is what it is, or something like that.
I think so. And there are folks that are going for the live livestock shows. The rodeo, I think, is this weekend. So there are a lot of good things to see.
I saw the livestock people loading up yesterday.
Did you?
On my way home.
Yeah.
They had all the trailers out there.
Yes.
They were getting horses and cows and pigs and everything in that barn.
Now all the pickups are lined up right by the interstate. It's it's funny. They've got them loaded. Yes.
Now we're going to definitely send Reuben, because if there's anybody in this town that will eat just about anything.
Right here.
He's your guy.
Right here.
He's your guy. You deep fry, whatever.
I've had just about everything the fair has to offer. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping for some new stuff, but I've had the donut burger. I've had chocolate dipped bacon.
Yep.
I've had the barbecue sundae, which is probably one of my favorite things.
Oh.
Okay, was it Jeff that showed us the picture yesterday of the southern fried bacon?
Oh,
like chicken fried steak?
Yeah.
Chicken fried bacon. They dip it in a batter and then deep fry it. Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Good Lord.
I don't think Dr. Shabra will let me eat that. Yeah. I think my heart guy would say, let's not do that.
Yeah, I'm going to get a call from my cardiologist after this.
But you're going and you'll try it all.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to do a tour de food this year, and I will report back.
Cheese curds.
You're not a big ride guy, though. You're not hopping on too many of the rides, are you?
Yeah, I might get on the Ferris wheel to snap a couple of pictures, but that's really about it.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big spin around, upside down, go.
Not anymore.
Not unless you want me to throw up on you.
See, my deal would be I would go just for the food, the crazy food.
I love just walking around, watching the people.
Regular corn dog. Give me one of them big old corn dogs.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. First of all, welcome back. It was so nice to pull up in the parking lot this morning and see the Bentley parked in there.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I am back. I'm feeling good. Thanks to everybody for the well wishes and the food and the calls and texts. I do feel the love.
And you're welcome for leaving you alone, by the way.
That was sweet, too. And I told people, I said, I stayed with a friend for a week or so, and then I went home. And another friend has my dog, has Bo still, because I can't lift anything heavier than a gallon of milk still. I'm still not allowed. So I'm like, Bo's better where he is. But when I got home, I just wanted to rest.
Sure.
I just wanted to rest and relax and sleep and catch up on some TV. But I am back now, and I still have some recuperation to go. I still have to wear this silly thing, but I'm feeling much better. I'm feeling much better. I did get sent from, because I live in the area, in the Shreve City area, kind of, and the neighbors over there are starting to bubble up about a proposed hookah lounge.
Okay.
That has been proposed for the Gamers XP building on Shreveport Barksdale Highway.
It's the old Video One location.
Yes. I think Cindy's was in there at one point, but I think Gamers has moved across the street into Shreve City. And so they've left that building vacant.
Oh, okay.
And now there's a proposal to put a hookah lounge and cafe, I think the name of it is, in that building, with the hours until noon until midnight weekdays, and then noon until 1 a.m. on Friday and Saturday nights.
For those who are clueless as to what a hookah is.
Now, I was just about to say, isn't it like a big bong, but it has 6 or 8? Tubes that come out of it?
It's what the caterpillar was smoking in Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
If you are having a hard time. And yes, it's a big water pipe, and it's got a bowl on the top where you put shisha tobacco, which is just flavored tobacco.
Right.
And a coal on top of that, and 2 or 3 people can share the hookah.
And it's just flavored tobacco.
Right.
It's like a pipe. It's not hemp or marijuana or anything to get you high.
No.
It's just, so what's the point? I mean, well, I'm not trying to be stupid, but I'm not going to sit around with somebody else.
Well, and I'll
just enjoy my pipe with my nice aromatic tobacco on my front porch because my wife won't let me smoke my pipe in the house. It's a regular Peterson pipe.
Yeah, and this the shisha tobacco is a little stronger, so it does give you a little tobacco nicotine kind of buzz, but it's. Yeah. It looks cool. Is the point.
Okay. Think of it like a cigar bar.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the problem: this place is not going to serve alcohol, so they say. They're not going to have loud music, so they say. They're not going to have outdoor seating, so they say.
Okay.
And they're going to
outdoor seating.
Yeah, if they were going to do a patio or anything like that, they're not planning to do that. The problem, though, and I've been to a couple of hookah places before. The only time I ever smoked a hookah pipe was when I was tipsy. I was having some cocktails with some friends, and there's a hookah at this place. And so I was like, oh, I'll try that. And I don't see a hookah lounge. And why are you calling it a lounge if you're not serving alcohol?
Now, the only time I've ever been to a hookah bar is when I was living in Pineville. And Pineville at the time was dry. But also, tobacco use back then was 18 and up. Now it's 21 and up.
Okay.
So they didn't serve booze at that one. But now that tobacco is 21 and up, you might want to think about getting a liquor license.
Yeah. And see, that's what I think. I think either people will be allowed to bring their own alcohol in, or they will sneak their own alcohol in, or ultimately this business will try to get an alcohol license. That's the concern of the neighbors. And they're having a big meeting Tuesday at 5:30 at the Gamers XP location, where the proposed owner is going to outline everything. I think Councilman Jim Taliaferro will likely be there. A lot of residents from the Captain Shreve, Anderson Island are going to be there.
Because there are residents directly behind this building.
Yes.
Because if you look at it, if you're driving, it's on Shreveport Barksdale Highway, and it's a big commercial area. Sure. You think, what's the problem?
Right.
But there is a residential neighborhood directly behind.
And this is right next door to Podna's. And most of those businesses along, except for the pizza joint maybe, most of them close by 9, you know, 8, 9, somewhere in that. I think maybe that Little Caesars is open later. Because of Barksdale, a lot of Barksdale.
But even that's not a lot of walk-in traffic.
No,
that's more delivery.
Right, that is a lot of delivery. The problem is you're going to have people hanging out in the parking lot that might be drinking. You're going to have people that, if you don't serve alcohol, that might be sneaking alcohol into the business. Because I just see a hookah lounge and alcohol going hand in hand. Am I wrong?
Was there a hookah lounge downtown?
No, there was one across the street on Shreveport Barksdale that burned down. Remember that one?
Yeah, it burned down. And that's another thing about hookah lounges is it's a fire hazard.
You bet. Absolutely. Now, the one across the street didn't abut any homes. There were no homes. I mean, it was with the old Burger King, I guess, is the location where that one was near. There by D Street.
Where the driving range used to be down
that
way.
Yeah, the new Wendy's is over there now.
Right.
was right next to the new Wendy's, and it burned to the ground. A lot of people speculating on what happened.
Remember Mr. Gaddy's?
Gosh, do I ever. Yeah, exactly. So the hookah public meeting is Tuesday, 5:30, at the Gamers XP location on Shreveport Barksdale Highway. Residents who have questions, now will be your chance.
Message from Councilman Taliaferro?
I did. I asked Councilman Taliaferro for his response, and I got a text from him. He says, I'm far from an expert on this type of business. Therefore, I would rely on case studies of businesses and look at the pros and cons. I would rely on the opinions and the expertise of zoning. And, of course, public opinion is important. And I would also look at the stats regarding health-related issues. So, he's not sure what to expect on this yet, but he will probably be getting involved and will likely be attending this meeting. And so will folks with the zoning, the MPC. They'll probably show up as well because they need to get a zoning variance for this
now,
to be allowed.
Now, when's the meeting and where?
Tuesday, 5:30 at the Gamers XP building.
Oh, they're at the building.
They're at the building.
Oh, okay.
And anybody in the neighborhood that has questions or concerns, you're invited to show up. I just don't see it having enough parking, for one. You know, it's got 12, 15 parking spaces, maybe. If it's a successful business, it's going to need more than that. Mm-hmm. So then are they parking on the road? Are they parking over at Podna's?
Right.
You know, I mean, after
at the
9.
Enterprise rent-a-car on the other side.
Would those folks be okay with it after hours? I wouldn't care if you parked at my lot after hours. But if you're disrupting.
You're looking at liability issues.
You got a point. Because things may happen in the parking
right.
lot. You're right. I just know it. They tried it in Southern Hills, and those residents bowed up big time and mm-hmm. said, not here. Move along. And so now they've moved along, and this is the next stop. So we'll see.
Hookah.
It's a weird feeling, smoking a hookah. It is. It really is. Just give you a heads up.
Never done it. Never tried
okay.
it.
Okay. I'll bring one in.
Not yeah, okay. Put one right here in the middle
exactly.
of the table. Yeah. Mike McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Did you see this? The story about Aaron Brockovich?
I saw that, yeah.
The Aaron Brockovich.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Julia Roberts. It's actually Aaron Brockovich. But apparently, she laid into Bossier City officials about the water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mayor Tommy Chandler says it's A-plus rated water.
Sure. But the chlorine smell is still, people are still talking about it. And if you remember a few years back when there was brain-eating amoeba.
Well, that's scary.
And then they started doing the chlorine flushes to solve the problem. I don't think Brockovich is in favor of how they're doing it. So that's kind of why she's jumped in.
What put that bug in her ear to begin with? Why does she give a rip about Bossier City?
I'm not sure. I don't know. We'd have to ask Crystal and see, but because I wasn't paying close attention to it. But she was involved back when the brain-eating amoeba popped up. She got involved and was kind of trying to tell people how to correct the problem, and they didn't follow her advice. But
go away.
She knows a lot about it. There's no doubt about it. She knows a lot about that stuff and has filed a ton of lawsuits and won a ton of lawsuits. We had her spokesman on at the time during the brain eating amoeba crisis.
Was that 2018?
I'm not sure when that was. Bocock, I believe, is his last name. Bob Bocock. And I may reach out to him again and say, what should Bossier be doing? What are they doing wrong to find out, what does Aaron Brockovich recommend?
Okay, but I never saw the movie. I never even saw the movie.
Really?
Never saw it.
Okay.
What makes her such an expert on Bossier water?
PG&E, she filed the lawsuit against Pacific Gas and Electric
okay.
in California. And she won a...
Is that what the movie was about?
Yes.
Okay.
And she won a monster lawsuit against those folks. And she has continued to file lawsuits based on public utility companies not doing what they should be doing with regard to the health of the residents who live in those areas. And so she's notorious for filing suits. And she's won a ton of them. Definitely won a ton of them.
She never filed anything against Shreveport during the summer of manganese and our brown issues. And we were at a local restaurant yesterday, and I ordered iced tea. And I said, I'm sorry, I just give me a Coke Zero because I can't. This is,
well, the
your
thing
tea's
is,
gone bad. And she goes, well, it's the water.
Yeah. The thing is, she files the suits when there's health issues that are definitely linked to it. And in Bossier, there was a brain-eating amoeba, and they believe linked to the water, and there may have been a case in a human.
That's more terrifying to me than Freddy Krueger.
Right. And I don't think we can trace any health issues to the Shreveport water.
Right.
The manganese,
and they said it was safe.
Right. And it's still safe to drink. It just tastes a little funky, and it looked a little funky. So it's one of those things where... you have to have a showing of health damages before she's going to get involved. And so I'm going to reach out to her people and see if we can't get her. Maybe we'll get her people to come in and at least call in and talk about it. She's not an early riser, so I know when we tried to arrange it last time.
Really?
They were like, you trying to get her before 7 a.m.? California time? Good luck with that. And if you watch the movie, she did like, you know, she liked to have a good time.
I wouldn't know her if she walked in the door right now.
Really?
No. Now, I would know Julia Roberts if she walked in the door right now.
I think you would know Erin Brockovich.
I wouldn't know. Honestly, I wouldn't
really?
Know her. No.
Okay.
I'd have to look her up and go, what does she look like?
Okay.
She's not even dark hair. Looks like she's blonde.
She's blonde. We're going to have to see if she's going to make any kind of filing against Bossier. And she'll have to find a plaintiff. I mean, she would have to find a local plaintiff who wants to do something right. about it. So we'll see. We're watching it.
Go mind your own damn business. By the way, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson coming up in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
House Speaker Mike Johnson spoke to us earlier this morning. Hear what he's got to say about the shutdown and more right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Erin back. Grateful to have you back. Thank you so much for being here.
You bet.
Because we get guests like this when you're back. It's okay. I'm not offended. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mike, good morning.
Hey, brother. Good to hear your voice. And welcome back, Erin.
Thank you.
And yes, I joined just because she's back, Mike. You know that.
I know
he
that.
He would have done that with you. You
That's
know
what your
that.
People told me. Is Erin there? No, oh. We're not going to do it then.
So, government going to be back open tomorrow? How close are we?
Let's pray that there's a break. This is day 30 of the Democrat shutdown, and they've now voted 14 times to keep the government closed. And it's just beyond me why this is happening. There's no coincidence. The polling says now that 70% of Americans view the Democratic Party is out of touch. They're just not paying attention to the real pain, the real hardship that's being caused by this. And I'm doing a press conference every morning. Y'all seen. I'm just going out and telling the American people the simple truth. This is about one thing and one thing alone. They are trying to use this as leverage to get credibility with the far left in their party, because Marxism is on the rise, as you've seen, of the Democrat Party. They're about to elect an actual Marxist, a far left socialist candidate, Mamdani, as the mayor of America's largest city in New York. And they're worried about that. The leaders here are worried they're going to get a challenge from a Marxist. And so they're just trying to show a fight, and they're causing great pain because of it.
Well, and I would take it a step further. It's not that they're out of touch. It's that they don't care. They've said the quiet part out loud. Well, we know people are suffering and hurting, but this is our leverage. In other words, this is about us and our power. We don't care about the people.
That is literally the quote of the second highest ranked Democrat in the House, Catherine Clark, who's their whip. And she said that the other day. And then Chuck Schumer said a few days before that, he leads over in the Senate, that every day of this gets better for us. What are you talking about, Chuck? Us who? It's the Democrats who are elected here. Hakeem Jeffries is on the ballot next fall. He's the Democrat leader in the House, my counterpart over here. And he's afraid that he's going to get a challenge from a Mamdani disciple on the New York City Council. This is a young guy who's already claiming he's going to run against him. So both of those guys, Schumer, Hakeem, all their leadership teams, they're terrified of losing their political positions. And so they're playing to the far left, and it's causing real pain across the country.
Mike, let me ask you this. I'm a little bit concerned why you have not called the House back in session. Oh, you've got federal workers who are working and they're doing their job and not getting paid. You could still be accomplishing things on the House side, even though the government is shut down, and you've been criticized for this. Why have you made that decision?
Well, we have been working. All of our members, most all of them, are back in their districts trying to help their constituents navigate this crisis, because you have so many federal employees and people who depend upon government contracts and, you know, people who rely upon nutrition assistance and veterans health services, all those things, they're all brought to a halt. So the members are back trying to help all those constituencies handle that work. They're working harder now than they would be if they were here in the Capitol on the House floor. The only thing that's stalled right now is legislative business on the floor. Everything else goes on in earnest. I mean, I've been working 21-hour days for the last month just trying to manage all this crisis. But the reason we're not doing legislative business, the reason we're not here on the floor, is because the most critical and most essential, most important job of Congress is to keep the government operating. And when the Democrats are playing games, the only leverage I have to get the government working again is to put pressure on the Senate Democrats to do their job. And if I bring everybody back here, it just stirs that up, and it prevents that from happening. I think something's going to break soon. Look, SNAP benefits, y'all, mm-hmm. are going to run out at the end of this month. I mean, we've got 42 million families, 42 million people in this country who rely upon that. Now, I'm grateful that Governor Landry and Louisiana legislature, they worked hard. They're going to make sure that SNAP benefits are paid for Louisianians. So we're covered. We're one of only two or three states where the governor stepped in to help. And you're going to have real pain felt by people around the country. And you've got the WIC benefits, the Women, Infants, and Children Nutrition Program, that the President Trump has bent over backwards to find extra pots of money to fund that. But it's not an inexhaustible fund. So that's going to run out as well. We've managed to get the troops paid through October because President Trump found unobligated funds in the Department of Defense to do that. But that money's running out as well. So the longer this thing drags on, air traffic controllers, if you have a flight coming up, there's a very good and increasing chance that you'll have a delay or maybe a cancellation, because if you don't have people in the towers, they can't run the flight safely, and they won't run them if they can't do that. So it's very real. It's going to affect every aspect of society. And that pain dial is going to be turned up quickly. And it's all because, remember, this is about one thing. It's about Democrats playing politics. And I wish that were not true, but that is the simple truth that they cannot refute.
Mm-hmm. That leads me to my next question, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Look, we know we've always considered ourselves the silent majority as conservatives. Called this the flyover states. We know the majority of Americans. I mean, Trump won the Electoral College. He won the popular vote. He won every swing state. We know the majority of people support what you and the Republican, the conservatives are doing. My question is, how did we get to a point where we're about to elect a communist as mayor of the largest city in this country? How do people like Ilhan Omar get elected? How did the Democrat Party go so far left? How did we get here? What happened?
Brother, you and I are going to need 90 minutes to go through that on the radio. I have a slideshow that explains how this began and the early 60s and devolved into the point where it is today. But gradually we moved away from the founding principles of the country. And the reason we're conservatives is we are trying to conserve what made us the greatest nation in the history of the world. The ideas of individual freedom and limited government and the rule of law and peace through strength and fiscal responsibility and free markets and human dignity, all these things that are the hallmarks of what it means to be an American. We celebrate the 250th anniversary of next year. They're imperiled by people who have this other ideology, this far left Marxist ideology that is based upon a very different foundational ideas. And look at the split screen right now. You've seen that theme in my morning press conference. Right now, the two parties have a wider chasm between them that was ever imaginable.
Right.
I mean, it's way different than when we were kids, you know?
Mike, the something has been posted, and the attention on SNAP now I think is very valuable. And this has been posted online this week. When you give the government the power to feed you, you also give them the power to starve you. That's why socialism never works. We need to examine SNAP. 53,000 in Louisiana are not going to get their SNAP benefits. The governor's not giving it back to all. Those are able-bodied people that he says should be working.
With no dependents.
Right. We need to pay attention to that. There are some people that really we don't need to be giving them these benefits.
Well, you're exactly right. And we just demonstrated that in the One Big Beautiful Bill, our big signature legislation we got signed into law July 4th. We looked at the Medicaid program, right? And you had that same problem in Medicaid. It was full of fraud, waste, and abuse, billions of dollars a year wasted and given to able-bodied young men without dependents, for example. They were riding the wagon instead of working. And so we went in and rooted that out, and we saved the program that way because it's intended for the elderly, disabled, and, you know, young women without a spouse and young children. I mean, people who desperately need it, and the money was being siphoned off by people who were riding it. By the way, you also had almost 2 million illegal aliens on the program. Mm-hmm. And we got them off as well. It's for U.S. citizens. So we have to do the same thing in each of these government programs. And watch what happens there. And every time we do that, the right, just, moral thing to preserve the programs and make them stronger for the people who need them, the Democrats cry foul. I mean, literally, their demand to reopen the government is that we give those benefits back to illegal aliens. Look at it. They look at page 57, section 2141 of the bill they filed to reopen the government. They're demanding that we spend $200 billion and give that back to illegal aliens. It is unconscionable.
It's absurd. Mike, let me change gears for just a moment. There's a billboard that's been put up here locally calling on you to release the Epstein files. And you said you have a response.
Another red herring. A total. They're trying to distort everything. Of course, the Epstein files are being released. The people who buy these billboards and try to stir up trouble are not paying attention to the facts. Last Friday, we had the third batch of release of the Epstein estate files. Okay, we have lawyers during the shutdown who have been up in New York City digging through all of that stuff. They have released his flight logs, his financial ledgers, his daily calendar, his personal notes. I mean, we're going so deep into the details of Epstein, there will be nothing uncovered. And that's all been happening. The House Oversight Committee is filled with some of the biggest bulldogs in Congress on the right and the left, the Democrats and Republicans, all united in this. It goes on around the clock. They are releasing. We got 43,000 pages of Epstein file documents out already. There's more to come. There's subpoenas outstanding right now. 11 deposition subpoenas. They've gone after the suspicious activity reports of the bank records, the Treasury Department. I mean, it is a full and open display of all of it, and everybody can draw their own conclusions. The one thing we've been insistent about, and the reason there was a fight initially, is that I know and I believe and I insist that we have to protect the innocent victims. By some estimates, there's as many as 1,000 young women who were just suffered unspeakable crimes in the trafficking ring that was involved at Epstein Island.
Well, and not only young women, children.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Many of them were minors. That's exactly right. And they suffered great harm. And you can't have their identities uncovered in these files because it'll cause further harm.
Right.
We have to absolutely insist upon that. And I have, and that's why they've gotten all upset.
From a constituent of yours in Benton, I get this question. My dad receives the aid and attendance benefit for veterans. Will he still receive that?
Oh, we hope so. The Department of Defense has bent over backwards to find these unobligated funds to keep taking care of our veterans and making sure troops are paid. We've got to look into the fine point and the details on each of those programs. But the point is, the money's running out, and that's why we're so upset. I mean, I'm not the happy warrior right now. They're calling me Mad Mike at the press conferences, but I am angry about it because the simplest way to do this, the best way to get all those benefits returned and restored, the programs, is for the Democrat shutdown to end. And we just need 5 or 6 more Democrats in the Senate, the centrist Democrats, to just come to their senses, defy their own leadership that's never going to bend on this, because, again, they think they're going to lose their jobs, and do the right thing. And then we can go and hash out all these remaining policy disputes and things we've got for the end of the year. That was always going to be the plan, but they decided to pick this fight so they can look tough to the Marxist base, to the No Kings Rally people and all those folks. They're terrified, and they care more about their own political jobs, you guys, than they care about our veterans and people who depend on these services. Mm-hmm.
Again, they don't care about themselves. It's all about their leverage and their power.
Yeah.
Yep. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, we know you're on a tight schedule. Thank you so much. The only thing I request, I want a Trump 2028 hat. And if you'll get,
he hands them out like candy. I think I can get you one.
Get him to sign it for me if you don't mind. Okay. I think that
he's totally trolling the Democrats.
I know it. I love it. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike, thank you so much.
Thanks. All right. Good to hear you.
Speaker of the House, you too, sir. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, Mike and McCarty. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Oh, more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
So I got a little worried when you texted me a picture of your pancakes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, she's having too much fun not being here.
You know, and I told Ruben early this morning when he got here, it's very weird when you just get up at 6 or 7 and you go out and have breakfast. It's very weird being in that world that I haven't been in 40 years.
Right.
And now daily I could get up and go out to breakfast. There are people out.
My Sunday school class, it's a men's class. And sometimes they'll go, okay, guys, so Thursday morning we're going to go have breakfast. And I'm like, come on, guys. Come on. Thursday.
And it's funny because there are a lot of guys. Strawn's yesterday was packed with men.
Right.
And they're older guys, and I'm sure they're married, and that's fine. But they meet up with their buddies.
Sure.
And they go have lunch.
Right.
I mean, breakfast. And I'm looking around going, wow, these people are up and going at 6, 6:30, 7 in the morning, and they go and have breakfast.
They're not just sitting at home listening to us.
Yeah, exactly. It's so weird when you work a really different day part than most other people, and then you realize that's their life. Their life is get up, go have breakfast, then go to the office.
Right.
Maybe some of them, if they're retired, they're going to play golf. Who knows?
We're glad you're back. We've got a great day scheduled for tomorrow. If you missed Mike Johnson, that'll be in the 6 o'clock hour. We've got Shreveport Police Captain Janice Daly going to talk with us about their plans for the Red River District. And then also Alan Seabaugh going to join us. Mm-hmm. Busy day tomorrow. Glad to have you back. Thanks. 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.